Hello everyone and welcome in to the Youth Hoops Pod presented by Pro Skills Basketball. Youth basketball is often disorganized, focused solely on winning, and generally frustrating. But at Pro Skills Basketball, our mission is to change that culture. We strive to provide a more professional experience for parents, players, and coaches. One focused on organized communication, fun, mutual respect, and personal growth, on and off the court. And the Youth Hoops Pod is a part of that. This podcast covers a wide range of youth basketball topics, from high school and AAU basketball to college recruiting, NCAA, NBA, overseas basketball, mental health and performance, leadership, and much more. Now let's jump into today's conversation. We hope you enjoy.
Okay, welcome back everyone to the Youth Hoops Podcast brought to you by Pro Skills Basketball. On episode 4 of the Recruiting Roundtable, we are joined by Matt Wheeler, co-CEO and co-founder of Sports Recruits. Matt, welcome to the podcast. It's always good to talk to somebody who grew up in Connecticut. There's a few of us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So let's jump in, man. We want to start with, what is the origin story of Sports Recruits? What was your motivation for creating it 13 years ago, which is impressive, man? That probably feels pretty crazy to say.
Yeah, a long time ago. So I played, sports all through growing up in high school, and I played lacrosse at Wesleyan University. And so, I went through the process, and I also saw how transformative or how great the experience of being a college athlete was for personal growth and making friendships and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And after working a few years in New York City, a buddy of mine named Chris Mead, who was captain with me at Wesleyan, was found himself out in Utah pre-business school coaching lacrosse. And he was talking to all these kids about what their process was like. This was in 2007. And what he realized was that these kids were going through a lot of the same challenges we were in year 99, 2000. But the difference was the world had changed. You know, in 99, 2000, we were sending off VHS tapes. But in 2007-ish, you know, YouTube was around, Facebook was kind of popping around. There were a lot of things out there that should make this process easier. And Chris was just blown away that these athletes in Utah were struggling so much with the process. But then when he spoke to his family and friends and different nieces and nephews and whatnot back on Long Island where he was from, he realized their process was the same as ours was, which was just throw as much stuff at the wall and hopefully something sticks and you end up out of school. And so seeing as we were both at that point committed to going off to business school, we said, all right, let's put a pause on that. And let's see if we can build something that would help student athletes, pursue their dreams of playing sports in college. So the mission statement from day one has been to empower student athletes to pursue their dreams. We've had ups and downs and lefts and rights and pivots, if you will, between 2008 and now. But I like to think we've stayed pretty true to that mission over the last 13 years.
And Jeff, I know you wanted to ask a question about how it got started, but I had one more follow-up. It started as lacrosse recruits, right?
Yep. Yeah. So we started with we had this idea and it ended up being wrong, I guess you could say, but we thought that there'd be value in creating sports specific communities. So we had lacrosse recruits in 2008, then we launched volleyball recruits in 2011. And then in 2014, we launched baseball, softball, soccer, kind of all in succession. In 2015, we kind of looked at all the different websites we were managing and Twitter handles and brands. And it was just like, yeah, we got to roll all these up under one umbrella. And it was really the best thing we've ever done, because now we were having situations where people were at cocktail parties and saying, hey, I use lacrosse recruits and I love it. And then a parent across the table was saying, I use volleyball recruits and I love it. They had no idea they were talking about the same company. So how are we supposed to build any real momentum if, you know, you had all these kind of fans, if you will, of the product, not even knowing they were using the same thing. So that was our idea. It ended up being wrong. And we've been Sports Recruits since 2015.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for joining us, Matt. In today's day and age, I know there's a lot of different platforms out there, that guys can use to kind of help get the recruiting jump started, with video. What do you think sets Sports Recruits apart, from your competitors and some of the other platforms that are out there for guys to use?
I would say it starts, there's a few things, but I think if you just look at the mix of talent employees we have at our company, the majority of them are product and engineers. So what that means is we are going to provide to our families the best technology and the best product we can. And other players in the space, if you look at their roster of employees, you'd see that, you know, 99.9% of them are salespeople. So we prioritize our product while others prioritize, you know, how many people can we have making, you know, thousands of phone calls a day. So I'd say that's the first thing is, you know, if you just look at the products, you can see, you know, we have resources and we put our resources over here. Other companies have resources and they put them over there. But then if you zoom out a little bit, we also come at the problem, the recruiting challenge in a different way, where some of the services out there are trying to, you know, pick off individual families. We think that a really well oiled recruiting process involves a number of people. So when we plug into an organization like PSB, we want PSB to have a whole suite of tools, which you guys all have and use really, really well, to support the efforts of your student athletes, where other products are services. So individual families are out on an island, if you will, where within PSB or the thousands of other clubs that use sports recruits, they're supported by the staff at their club. So we don't know. I don't know the first thing about Jimmy Smith on your, you know, on your 17s Nashville team. How am I going to help Jimmy Smith? I can't. I can't look Jimmy Smith's family in the face and say, hey, I know how to get you into Duke. That would be a lie. But the staff member who sees him every day at practice can say, hey, Jimmy, let's sit down. Let's go through your target list of schools. Let's find a list of 10, 20, 30 schools that are a good fit for you. And now Jimmy is in a really good place because he has a realistic list of schools. He has the support of his club director or program director. And, you know, he's off to the races. And so I think we just approach it from a totally different perspective as we sign up entire organizations instead of trying to, you know, zero in on one single family.
Yeah, that's something, you know, being a college coach myself that I saw right away that separated you guys, you know, getting involved with the organization and listening to the coaches that deal with these kids every day, you know, rather than necessarily, you know, assigning, you know, a salesperson or another coach with a company that deals with families individually. So I think that's awesome. I think, you know, you guys do a great job. And I think that's a very good business model moving forward for sure.
Thank you. Yeah, we love PSB and watching all the success the program's had.
Matt, who was harder to convince to onboard first? Was it kids originally or families or coaches or organizations? Who did you go after first? Because it is kind of like a double-edged sword. You can't promise kids what you're offering if there's no coaches, and you can't promise coaches if there's no kids signed up. It's this tough. Who did you go after first and who was harder to get?
So all of our platforms from day one started with every college in the country on the platform. So, you know, when we launched basketball in whatever 2016, it had zero, you know, players. All the coaches were in the system. So when we signed up an athlete, that athlete could log in and send a message to Hamilton or Williams or whatever, Virginia Tech. Now the coach on the Virginia Tech side gets that message and says, huh, this is new. I haven't seen this before. But we make it so easy for that coach that there was no onboarding for that coach. And Jeff might've seen that with, you know, getting messages, you know, in a college coach capacity. So it's free for the coaches. So, you know, we're not charging them. So we have really, and we'll get to this later in the conversation, but we have really doubled down recently with some tools that are trying to make college coaches' lives easier that will continue to be free. But what I will say about kind of onboarding athletes and individual families is, you know, for the first handful of years we were in business, we were signing up individual families, and, you know, the pricing was right on the website. You came, you signed up, and, you know, that's how you got going on the platform. And, you know, through that experience is how we learned that, you know, kind of learned about the role these clubs play in the recruiting process of these athletes. And that's how we said, all right, well, actually, we should be selling the software to the clubs. The clubs are who really need this, right? They're the ones that are seeing these families every day in the gym. And so I think a challenge for both us and our clubs, you know, you guys, is I would have thought if someone told me in 2008 I would have thought, you know, with the proliferation of technology and everyone having, you know, especially the, you know, the iPhone and this amazing device in your pocket, I would have thought that people would stop making the same mistakes that we see, that we saw in 2008. And what I kind of realized with, I guess, wisdom over the years is that, you know, it's brand new for these families. Why should we expect them to know anything? They go from seventh, eighth grade, and then eighth grade to high school. That's their first kid. It's not like there's some, you know, master's level, you know, kind of college course they're going through to learn about the process. So I now kind of appreciate more that each year, you know, we at Sports Recruits and our clubs have to re-educate those families. And so we try to do that through our product, where we want families to get set up on the product. We want them to, you know, favorite some schools and kind of ease their way into this process. And then as they go from freshman to sophomore and sophomore to junior, they're really comfortable using the tools, and then they're off to the races. So to kind of in a roundabout way to answer your question, I feel like the families are probably harder just because they're starting for, we're starting from zero every year, right? We're getting that new crop of kids going from middle school to high school. And they have, well, I guess it's, they think they know what they're doing, right? If you're on a sideline listening to parents, they're talking like they know what they're doing, but they don't really know anything. And so that's one of our things we tell parents is, don't listen to what you hear on the sidelines, because the people that know what they're talking about are not talking. That's a big.
That's the line of the podcast. The people that know what they're talking about are not talking.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that the student athlete side, and again, we have a great recruiting guide right on our website that's totally free. And we try to provide as many, we do webinars. I'm sure, I know your kids attend the webinars. And so we're doing, you know, multiple webinars a month. We have tons of content on our website. We have a help section that has everything under the sun. And so we try to provide all the resources we can. But at the end of the day, it ends up being, you know, a team effort between us and the clubs to kind of get those athletes and get those families to watch those webinars and consume some of that content.
Awesome. Now I know you guys have multiple sports like you've talked about on the platform. Which sports are kind of most popular from a coach and player perspective? And are there any sports that you see, you know, have kind of popped up and picking up traction, you know, the last couple of years, and you know, people are getting on there a little bit more frequently?
When you look at our numbers, in terms of the absolute number of athletes you have in each sport, they're kind of in line with the absolute number of athletes that play that sport at the high school level, with the exception of football. You know, with our focus on club sports, we don't do a lot of football. I think we look at it less so at a sport by sport, from a sport by sport perspective, as a the maturation of the youth sports space. And so every year, you know, a basketball club or a lacrosse club or a soccer club or a volleyball club or a softball club or a baseball club. Those are our top six sports. Every year, those organizations are thinking about how can we get better. And in this day and age, a lot of that comes back to, you know, what technology can we adapt? So if you're talking about baseball, is it, you know, are we getting blast motion devices to put on our bats for our athletes to know, you know, some of all the kind of data that comes off when they hit a baseball or hit a softball. In a sport like volleyball, you know, are we getting, you know, Pixelot cameras, or basketball Pixelot cameras to you know, kind of set up, and we have the automated camera AI moving the camera in post-production. And so all of our sports are growing pretty much in lockstep together as just the industry itself, you know, matures. And, you know, it wasn't too long ago that, you know, the extent of coordination inside of a club or a high school team was, you know, who's bringing the orange slices for halftime. And now, you know, there's a lot of coordination within these clubs, and we're happy to play, you know, our role, as, you know, as a technology provider that, you know, hopefully provides value to families.
Matt, talk to us about this past year. Is it safe to assume that your business has been doing well? I mean, has there been more interest just for the mere fact that things have been shut down? So I assume that kids have been reaching out to coaches at a higher clip.
Yeah, I mean, it was a strange time for us. A strange, I guess, and exciting time for us. You know, for a few reasons. You know, one, you know, from a kind of product usage perspective, yeah, we of course saw usage like we never saw. You know, depending on sport, you're talking about, you know, college coach usage up 1,000% year over year. So we were a place that, you know, coaches that were using us, you know, once a week were now using us every day, because what else were they going to do? And so that obviously was exciting to see a lot of those numbers go up and to the right. You know, balance that with, you know, we service small businesses across the country that run youth sports organizations. And so those, there really wasn't an example of a part of a customer of ours or a client of ours that didn't have a bad year or didn't have some adversity. So, you know, we obviously had to, balance those two extremes. That being said, you know, we were, you know, constantly amazed by some of the creativity and flexibility we saw from clubs, you know, PSB being one of them. You know, standing up a recruiting event over Zoom, you know, if someone told me that was going to happen, you know, in January of 2020, you know, my head would have exploded. Like, what? They're going to. And then, you know, we had our Event Beacon product is what coaches were using in their hands to evaluate the athletes and see, you know, who was who. And we'll talk about that later a little bit. But, you know, kind of things like that happened that were just like, whoa, like youth sports, you know, things that we thought might have taken 5 years happened in 3 months. And so I think, you know, coming out of it, I feel like, you know, I talk to clubs almost every day. I feel like a lot of them learned some new tricks and, you know, have embraced, you know, doing Zoom meetings instead of maybe all getting together. Cause you know, depending on your club, I mean, that could be a 45-minute drive each way for families or whatever. So I feel like coming out of it, I think overall, you know, there are some organizations that are just no longer with us, but I think overall, a lot of organizations really got stronger. And so, you know, I'm really excited to see what this year and in the next, you know, 5 years or so, has in store.
Awesome. You know, piggybacking on that, what are some, you know, cool new functionalities of sports recruits or, you know, new ideas, you know, that you guys have on the docket, excuse me, ready to roll as we head into, you know, 2022?
Two things that are exciting. One, when COVID hit, we said, we just had a feeling that, you know, knowing the NCAA and how risk averse they traditionally are, we had a feeling that coaches were not going to be going out. But we also had a feeling events were going to happen. So, we built an on-demand video product that anybody can use that can load up video from an event for college coaches to access on demand. So we loaded up 7,000 or so games across a few different sports, and coaches can log in free of charge, watch the video. We also load up the rosters. So while you're watching the video, you have the rosters right next to it, or you can have an app in your phone with the game up here if you want to take your notes in your phone. So we created this kind of pretty cool on-demand experience in pretty short order that there's now no going back. So this coming summer, you know, we'll be loading up tens of thousands of games for college coaches to watch. So that started out as a way for athletes to get exposure that they weren't going to get otherwise. And now it's turned into a lot of our event partners are really pumped about it because they're able to say to their attendees that you're getting exposure not only on site on a Saturday and Sunday at the event, but this event lives on forever. So 6 months from now, you might be getting a view from your dream school where traditionally these events are kind of ephemeral, right? You go, you compete, coaches take their notes, they're out of there. That event is done, on to the next one. And so really excited with that product. And you know, if any event operators are listening and they would like to get their event up on Event Beacon, it's called Event Beacon On Demand. Hit me up, Matt at Sports Recruits. We'll take care of you. And then the other product, kind of connected to this on-demand video product, is an app called Event Beacon, which is on iOS and Android. And what we're trying to do there for college coaches is make the on-site event experience better. So if you think about a college coach showing up at an event, every sport is a little different, I guess. But traditionally, they're handed a book, and it could be a nice book, could be in a nice binder, could be stapled, could just be loose pieces of paper. The information could be bad, it could be good, but they honestly have no idea what they're getting until that book is in their hands. And so we think that's a crappy experience for the coach, and it's a crappy experience for the kid. Because if I am the Princeton coach sitting on the sideline and I see a kid make a great play and I want to see if that kid can get into my school, and I look down at my book and he's maybe not even in the book, highly possible, or the information in the book is incomplete, that's a bad experience for me, because if I had the grades to go to Princeton, I might've missed out on the opportunity of a lifetime. And that's unfair to me as the athlete. So with this Event Beacon product, the athletes are actually in complete control of their data. So prior to an event, the athletes are given the opportunity to fill out their profile, video up, favorite schools. So it all sits on top of the Sports Recruits platform. And then the coaches have really complete information in the palm of their hand at the event. They can take notes, evaluate, favorite the athletes, and this all syncs with Sports Recruits. So if I favorited Matt Wheeler in Sports Recruits and Matt Wheeler is at the PSB Elite Showcase, I'm going to show up in the coach's hand as, oh, number 17, I'm interested in him. You favored him on Sports Recruit. So we're trying to really blend the what's happening on Sports Recruit's world with what happens when a coach is on site at an event. And right now those worlds are almost completely separated. The notes are left in a margin, right? You see the coaches take notes in the book, that book gets thrown in the trunk and you know those notes never see the light of day. So we have Event Beacon at 200 or so events this coming summer. So we're really excited about that product. And again, if you're an event operator listening to this and you want to get Event Beacon and our on-demand video product plugged into your event, get in touch and we'll take care of you.
Man, that's great. I know Jeff can speak to it even more than I can, but I think everybody's sick and tired of spending $350 on a book. And then you look down and the jersey number is wrong. And the maybe you don't have the right height. I mean, all the information is suspect to be wrong, which is just the most frustrating thing in the world.
Yeah, I think the old school days, are kind of gone with people making notes in books. As Matt touched upon, everybody's on their phone anyway, so if you're scrolling through and checking numbers and checking texts or checking schedules, it makes sense to have all that in the palm of your hand. So that's awesome. I think that's great. We'll transition into, kind of the fun part of the podcast. Not that this whole show isn't fun, but, I have some rapid fire questions for you here, Matt. Quick thinking, we'll put about a minute on the clock in my head and we'll see how you do with some of these rapid fire questions. We'll go when you're ready.
Okay, let's go.
First question, go to fast food place on the road while you're traveling.
Chipotle bowl, but the wrap on the side so you can make yourself little tacos.
There you go. I'll let that pass as a correct answer, even though I don't know if Chipotle has a drive-through yet. We'll be good with that. Favorite PLL team with your lacrosse background? PLL's big now.
I haven't quite adopted a team. I enjoy watching it. I think they're doing some good stuff, and the merger with MLL is great. I'm gonna have to give a shout out to my Wesleyan Cardinals. That's my team that I follow and watch every Saturday, and I can't wait for them to get back to action next year.
Go Cards! Favorite city you've ever visited?
I'll keep it domestic, and I'm excited to get back to Austin, Texas, when all this blows over and a lot of energy down in that city.
Awesome. Favorite sport to watch on TV, not necessarily a 10, just you're scrolling through the cable box and you have your choice of sports. What are you tuning into?
If you guys haven't watched the Drive to Survive Netflix series about F1, I would watch that. And now I'm into F1. And so I watch that on Sundays, very fast. It's over in about an hour and a half, no commercials. And it's fantastic.
Awesome. I'm not. Check that out. Go to playlist. Let's go songs.
If I'm in the car and I'm going somewhere and I really want to pass time, I'll find a Dave Matthews live album, preferably Red Rocks 95.
Awesome. So, Matt, that's good choice. It's a very Connecticut answer. Good work.
Yeah.
And then last one for you, favorite podcast besides this one, obviously.
That's I'll put a spin on it. Ryan Russillo, who's on the Ringer Network, does a bit at the end of every podcast called Life Advice. And depending on who the guest is, I might fast forward through the entire podcast, listen to this little life advice. He has a younger producer on the show who's probably in his mid-20s. And it's just hilarious to listen to them read these inbound life advice questions, and these two guys riff on them. And so I really enjoy listening to these life advice segments every week.
Russillo's great. Yeah, that's a good one. Well, good. That was probably the fastest guest that we've had answering all those questions. So I think we passed on that.
Yeah. All right. That's good.
I think that's exactly how it's supposed to go. Matt, we'll get you out of here on this, man. Just want to do you have any advice for the class of, now that 21 is almost over in terms of recruiting, but 21, class of 2022, if they're going through the recruiting process, any advice for those student athletes as they kind of navigate what was obviously the craziest year for everybody?
I think that I think just in general, this is for a 2025 or a 2022, there are no shortcuts in this recruiting process. Just like there are no shortcuts to improving your 3-point shot. And I feel like in this day and age, people feel like they can just post something on Twitter or post something on Instagram and walk away, and the likes and the views and the, what's it called, whatever you want to call it, are gonna pile up, and you know, you're gonna get recruited by your dream school. And, you know, again, unless you're that top kid, like that's just not how it's going to work. And I cannot stress that enough. We've had literally millions of families come through our doors and use our product, and we're remains consistent across all of them. The kids that end up committing and adding a little commit banner to their profile is they put in the work. They did the research. They favorited the schools. They put video on their profile. They communicated with the programs they're interested in. Extra credit if you sit down with your club and say, hey, are these schools accurate or not? But just in general, the kids that we see zeros don't put commitment banners up. It's just not how the world works. And so I feel like sometimes it's good for people to have that perspective that, you know, the recruiting process is no different than anything else you're trying to improve upon, if you will. You have to put work into it. And the schools are interested in when you're freshman are probably not going to be the schools are interested in when you're a junior. And I'll go as far as saying the school you're going to probably go to is a school you've never heard of when you were a freshman. And that's fine. That's how it's supposed to be. But I get disheartened when I see athletes, try to take shortcuts, and then they get late in their junior year and they realize they have nothing to show for it. And it was because they didn't want to kind of do it the right way. They wanted to do it the hype way or whatever. You know, they wanted to like hype on Twitter, hype on Instagram, and kind of do it the way that maybe they've seen Zion Williamson do it. But Zion Williamson is not, you know, the standard athlete. So I would just say, you know, approach your process in a kind of calculated, organized way, and you'll come out the other side successful 9 out of 10 times. I can tell you that for sure, just looking at the data across millions of athletes. I know everyone wants to think they're a unique butterfly, and they are in many ways. They have unique skills and, you know, in grades, et cetera. But when I look at it, when I zoom out on the you know, millions of athletes we've had go through this process, the consistent thing we see is the athletes that put in the work rose to the top. And so try to keep that in mind when you're sending that message after practice and you're tired, you don't want to do it, right? You know that your competition, if you will, are taking the easy way out. They're just putting their link up on Twitter. They're saying, hey, check out my new highlight reel, and they're walking away and going to play video games. So just put in the work and you're gonna be fine.
Love it. Awesome. Well, thank you, Matt. We really appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you for taking the time, and hopefully we can meet here soon, whether it's in New York or down in Charlotte. Maybe Brendan will get you to the PSB summit. I don't know, but
I love that. That would be great.
Yeah.
I need to get out of New York.
Yeah. I believe it. Awesome. Well, thank you again, man. We really appreciate it. And best of luck with everything this year, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Let's take a 30-second time out to talk about PSB Plus. PSB Plus is our virtual training package designed to make players more skilled, stronger, and smarter. Members of PSB Plus will get access to our on-demand training app, which contains hundreds of full workouts led and guided by expert trainers. Members will also get access to all of our live events throughout the year, which include pop-up workouts, college showcases, camps and partnership events, and film study sessions. Go to www.psbplus.com to start your 14-day free trial and become a part of our family today. All right, our 30 seconds is up. Let's get back into the podcast. Thank you for listening to today's conversation. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review and subscribe so that you can stay tuned to future episodes. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at ProSkills Basketball on Instagram and Facebook, and at ProSkills B-Ball on Twitter. And if you'd like to find out more information about our teams, camps, clinics, or virtual basketball, check out our website at www.proskillsbasketball.com. We'll see you soon on another conversation.